This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 115, Old Games, New Money. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a beautiful Friday afternoon in Durham, North Carolina, where I am with my fabulous, fantastic co-host, Phaedra Boinodiris. Phaedra, welcome.
Hey, Michael. So glad to be here on this lovely Friday afternoon. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves in at GamesAtWork.biz is the .biz part of the gaming space. And Phaedra, you have been doing some research lately, it looks like, because you've got a couple of interesting links about the gaming market.
Yes, our friend Elaine Aldehoff, who works for Markets and Markets in the Serious Games Association, they have come out with their annual report on the serious games market, and they're saying that for the next 5 years, the serious games market can be expected to grow at least another 16%, and that by the year 2020, it's going to be a $5.4 billion industry.
Well, actually, it's 16% CAGR, so year over year. So
year over year.
Woohoo! That's serious money.
It's good news for we who work in this industry, for our bread and butter. It means hopefully we'll get more bread and more butter.
How about some Nutella?
Even better. We'll take the Nutella.
it's interesting because I know, you know, most people don't think about the market size of things when they're, you know, just playing the games. But really, there has to be, you know, value to create the games. And this says there's a lot of value and a lot of expected value yet to come.
Agreed. And it was interesting because they were also talking about the major players, and some of these were surprises. So they mentioned IBM, Cisco, Microsoft, but also Nintendo, which I thought was interesting. Breakaway Games, of course, Serious Games International, amongst others. But I was curious, are you familiar with what Nintendo might be doing in Serious Games?
No, that I am also very much surprised by that. But maybe it's a regional thing. Maybe it's stuff that they do more in the Asia market than in the U.S. market.
That could be. Could be. Very well be.
Yes. So you know, it's, you know, $5.4 billion by 2020.
That's right.
Like I said, that's nothing to sneeze at.
That's right. Y'all, pay attention.
That's
sweet
your budget,
news.
Right? That's your budget.
Well, maybe a few less zeros. Like, I might have $5 in my pocket.
The decimal place keeps going to the left.
Right. Exactly. Well, speaking of money.
Yes.
There's currently about $60,000 in prize money for the lucky Unreal developer who can make the next generation winery using the Unreal Engine.
Next generation winery. So would that give you real wine or just virtual digital wine?
Virtual digital flowing yet beautiful wine.
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Michael and I guess it was on last week's show, talked about our favorite wine apps. For tracking.
I'm so sorry I missed last week's episode. That sounded like an awesome show. I missed it.
Yeah. So there. But hopefully our listeners didn't miss it. And if you did, you can always go to gamesatwork.biz and download last week's episode too, or subscribe to us on your favorite podcatching app, whether that's, you know, iTunes or Downcast or Instacast or you name the cast that you cast it on. Go over and, you know, download the previous show, subscribe to us, and give us some ratings. We'd appreciate that.
Well, I think this move by Epic really supports the premise of using gaming engines beyond just for the development of games. I think what they're trying to do here with architecture is interesting. And I'd heard that before, that they were really trying to push more into the architecture space. So it's, I'm curious as to what else is going to come of it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's just the architectural aspects, or if Unreal 4 has done some new stuff with fluid dynamics. You know, I mean, a winery, that's, you know, wine bottles. There's liquid, there's moving liquid with different light refractions going against it, and all kinds of interesting graphical implications.
Very true. Very true. Unknown.
Unknown.
But the winners will be announced this October in Italy. So it sounds like a nice competition to be part of.
Yes, and you could have a nice bottle of, what would it be, Chianti?
Chianti. Valpolicella.
Yes. Well, you know, speaking of that virtual space and that cool graphics and stuff, we talked about last week augmented reality, which is taking, you know, those graphics and overlaying them on the real world. And the better the graphics and the better the overlay, the more realistic it looks like, or the more realistic it looks and impacts how you interact with it. Saw a link this week on something from Disney called Playmation. And you and I both watched this video a couple of times, I think, by now, if not more. And I can't figure out what they're doing unless they're going to offer some kind of augmented reality gaming platform.
Do you think it's augmented reality or something more immersive? I guess augmented, because they're showing kids sort of walking around playgrounds and stepping into spaces. So augmented, I guess, would make more sense versus completely immersive.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're doing something with like Leap.
Oh, that would be so cool. I wonder. I wonder. It looks really fun, though. It looks really fun. Just the trailer really sparks one's imagination with regards to the kinds of games. But notice, I mean, it's very much a you're walking around. You're not plugged into a console. You're not plugged into a wall per se. You're, you know, it seems like a purely wireless experience. You're playing with friends in a co-created instance of a world. It just looks really intriguing.
And now with their continuing growth of interesting brands that they own, right? They show the whole Disney Marvel tie-in to the Avengers, and they announce, you know, coming in 2016. The Avengers on Playmation, and then they show the whole Star Wars tie-in too. Again, 2016.
That was cool.
I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, I'd go for the lightsaber."
As would we all.
Yes. But that, you know, really cool. And you know, Disney is the company that has the whole idea of the Imagineer, right? And so they're leaving a lot to our imagination right now, I guess, really driving potentially driving a hype cycle into sometime next year. And this post was from our friends over at Slash Film that we're talking about a top secret event on June 2nd at the Milk Studios in Hollywood for this upcoming Future of Play. But it doesn't tell you anything after that. So I'm going to have to dig around and see what else.
A top secret event, then. Mom's the word.
Yeah. But here's a video of it. And we'll tell you more later. So tell us later. Tell us more now. I don't want to go for later. Okay. So, you know, we'll dig around some more on the site to see if they ever did follow up the post on what this Playmation is. But what's interesting to me is when we talk about augmented reality, what about changing reality, or at least your perception on reality? And we saw a link, also again this week, from a company called Thinks. THYNC, which, you know, we've talked about in the past, the emotive headset and things that read your brain waves and allow you to control PCs or control things. Well, what about a headset that actually changes your brain waves, i.e. alters your mindset? So this one is kind of interesting. There's a small plastic and electronic device that's placed right above your right eye, eyebrow, kind of at the temple area, and over a period of 5 to 10 minutes starts sending small electrical pulses to either increase your energy or have a calming effect. What, Phaedra, what did you think of the video?
I'm looking for version 2.0 where it can boost my ESP capabilities, maybe a little telekinesis, you know, get my kids to bed, put them in the bathtub kind of thing, make some dinner, you know, all from sitting on my lounge chair. But it was really interesting. I was wondering that the second time I watched it, I was wondering, wouldn't it be interesting to actually have something like this, a mood-altering headset, integrated into a game, right? Such that, let's say, people could cast spells on you during gameplay that would make you feel a certain way. You know? I mean, you could sort of play around with different kinds of game, but it might be really interesting. I'm curious what will happen with it, how it will grow.
That's when it starts getting, when somebody else is causing the impact of the mood altering effect, that's when I start worrying.
No. This is true.
Because then you go, well, maybe we should require this to be the hat that you wear when you're at work.
Oh, right. Boost the energy.
I have all my bling, or what do they used to call that in the movie Office Space? Not charms, not bling. Oh, I can't remember. But it was... cheer? No. But all the buttons that they had to wear at the one little restaurant. And I can imagine, you know, you're going to the store and all the wait staff or the cashier or whatever at the store are all wearing these little headsets. They're like, "Hi, I'm so glad to meet you." It was like, "No, you're not. You're doing a horrible job. Why do you want that?"
you wouldn't want others to have control. I would 100% concur. I mean, you can imagine mind control. There's been enough sci-fi books and movies written about that to scare one off. But it's interesting. I mean, you know, does this replace caffeine at some point? You sort of slap this on your head and say, okay, you know, I got to wake up for an early flight. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. They do say, you know, after a long day, you might want to put the calming thing on right before you go to sleep.
Right. Well, there's enough people with sleep disorders where maybe this would be really beneficial to them.
Yeah. Because, you know, your brain just goes and you can't stop thinking about something. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night the other night and was thinking, have I done my employee... what we call personal business commitments for the year. Is that a due yet? I seem to remember a couple of months ago something coming out. And your brain just starts going and going and going. And then it's like, it doesn't matter. Not at 3:30 in the morning.
But you didn't have a nightmare or a dream about personal business commitments, did you?
No. I only have good. Those in December. well, you know, it's funny because we talk about all these different aspects of, you know, there's money in gaming, there's interesting stuff you can do with gaming. Well, you remember, I know you remember this, when Minecraft first came out, right?
Yes.
And everyone's like, oh, Minecraft, you know, that just looks kind of like Legos. Well, why couldn't they do it? Well, this week, Lego finally posted their new video for Lego Worlds as the competitor to Minecraft.
Oh, goodness.
And it looks awesome.
You think it looks better?
I don't do Minecraft.
Oh, why not?
I don't have time for yet another game.
Oh, okay. Well, given that I'm a mom to a 4-year-old, I see Minecraft a plenty.
So what'd you think, comparing-wise, video graphics-wise?
I haven't actually played around with the Lego Worlds one yet. Okay. Just familiar with Minecraft. That's why I was curious what your take was. But I'll definitely check it out before the next show.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty cool, and it looks like it's going out in beta right now under early access on Steam. So I might have to check it out there because I do have a Steam account.
Yeah, I'm curious if they're going to be planning sort of the open classroom initiative with Lego Worlds. I would think so, that they're going to go after that market.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because if you think about it, who bought Minecraft a while back?
Microsoft.
I was about to say, wasn't it Microsoft?
Yep.
And you think of from an enterprise capability of delivering software, right? Lego, the company, is still family owned, really effectively a small company still. Can Lego World go up against Minecraft with just the whole global reach of Microsoft's delivery, right? That would be interesting to see.
It is going to be interesting to see. But you know what? The folks that benefit are going to be the kids in the classrooms. I mean, because from what I have seen with regards to Minecraft's use within classrooms, it has really exploded. I mean, the wide variety of different ways that the engine is being used and encouraging kids to code and create their own worlds. It's just tremendous. So I think, you know, having Lego enter into this as well can only spell good things, you know, in terms of how it might be able to be used, extended, spark the imagination, all good things.
Absolutely agree. And I can't wait to, like I said, I think I'll have to see if I can get into the early access program and just take a look at it. I'll sign up for it this weekend. I know we're probably doing a short show today, especially if we have to edit out all the technical problems of my internet connection. I was listening to the Daily Tech News Show with Tom Merritt driving around this morning to take my other computer in for some repairs. And they announced the new inductees into the World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And as any Hall of Fame, there's controversy. So let me just let you know who they are, and we'll have a link in the show notes, obviously. Doom, kind of the first-person shooter that many people got into. And I was thinking, you know, I played Wolfenstein before then, if you remember the original cast of Wolfenstein.
Of course.
Pac-Man, well, I think that one's a no-brainer, right? That was kind of the arcade game. Even though before that would have been Space Invaders.
And before that would have been Pong.
And before that would have been Pong.
Which is on the list.
Which Pong's on the list, which, you know, that makes sense because that was, you know, the home console thing, right?
Right.
Super Mario Brothers, which is funny. I never got into the Mario Brothers world.
Oh, I did. I played a lot of that.
And then one we probably both played a lot of, Tetris, right?
Tetris. Yeah.
Blocks coming down from the ceiling. And then finally, World of Warcraft. And this one was evidently controversial, too, because there were so many different MMORPGs. I know Michael and I both were big into Dances with Wookiees. I mean, Star Wars Galaxies when it first came out. There's, you know, The Lord of the Rings Online, EVE Online.
It does seem odd. I mean, World of Warcraft is an outlier, if you think about it. It's an outlier. It's the only more recent game in comparison to these others.
It's lasted, what, 10 years now? Right?
That's true.
10, 11 years.
Very true.
Maybe it's longevity on that one. But it's interesting to see all of these. And the reason I find it really interesting is, have you seen the trailer for the movie coming out this summer, Pixels?
No.
You must go see this trailer.
Okay.
And maybe we put that in the show notes. So here, the basic premise of this movie is aliens have been watching video footage in space of video games from the 80s.
Oh, maybe I have seen this. And they send down monsters in the form of the video game monsters onto the planet.
Yes, because they figure, you know, the humans were evil because we were killing, you know, Donkey Kongs by the millions and all this other stuff. And maybe not the most exciting cast, but just the premise of this movie looks hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
So Phaedra, I know you've been really crazy busy lately. What have you been up to? Anything exciting going on?
Ooh, work, running around conferences, going to be heading out to Australia in August for the big SimTech conference. Ooh. That will be great. Happy that summer is here in general. At least it feels like it.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who's up in Maryland area, and she's saying it was just so cold. And I said, oh, so you're experiencing Junuary.
Yeah, we don't have any of that down here.
No, no, we don't. No, we don't. And we're missing our other co-host, Michael Martin, who is out traveling this week.
So big shout out to you, Michael. Hope you're doing well.
Yep. And any new game you're playing lately?
Nothing new, as I said. Lots of Minecraft, and more of what's on my console currently versus anything new. But I do want to check out the Vera games from last week's show. It's on my list to check out.
Yeah, and hopefully we might actually have one of the game developers on the show in one of the next couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
Which is really exciting. So I think that's going to be it for us today. We hope everybody has a great weekend. And again, give us a shout out. Give us a tweet or a post on the blog over at gamesatwork.biz, or a comment on iTunes. We would appreciate your feedback.
Great. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.